the mirror image of me.
Oh, shut up, you puns. Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech, Mac, the weekly Mac show from the Bagel Tech Network that's 20 minutes late. Do apologise, awfully sorry, but...
sorry.
We're here, and I locked everyone out, and I've... who knows, who cares? The week in Macintosh, discussed by our usual fantastic friends on the panel. Top left, a very patient Don McAllister. Hello, mate.
Hello.
How are you doing? How's the new site? Come on, man. Tell us all.
It's rocking.
It looks good, man. It looks good.
No, it's all the work of a guy called Jamie Peake, actually. I can't take very much credit, although I did obviously help him out a bit and give him some ideas. But Jamie's done all the coding, etc. Yeah, I moved away from my Rapid Weaver site. I've had Rapid Weaver now for 6 years. But it was very sort of inflexible, couldn't do much with it. And I have a separate membership site as well. And, you know, it was all hand cranked. Well, this is a brand new sort of custom built system that integrates with the membership system that I've got. And basically it gives lots of new functionality to the existing members. And for people just coming onto the site for the first time, they can see lots more information. And it automates the publishing process as well. So it does all sorts of things. So it's been a big week this week. Been quite scary at points, sort of swapping everything over. But luckily, touch wood, I published my first 2 shows today using the new system, and it all seemed to work fine. So,
that's right, great. Offer codes are suspended for a little while, though, you said.
Yeah, and I need to sort out the discount codes and stuff because I've moved to a new system as well. Because it used to be a joining fee; you used to pay $57 to join, and I've actually scrapped that now. So people can just join without the joining fee and just pay monthly or quarterly or 6 monthly. Or
excellent.
In fact, no, not 6 monthly. Monthly, quarterly, and yearly. So it's a lot simpler. So I need to sort out how the discounts are going to work and stuff. So that's going to take me another week too.
Yeah, or Jeremy, anyway. Next to him, Carl Swagger. How's it going, mate?
It's good.
Good week?
It's grand.
Yes.
Yeah. Busy week. Very busy week, actually. Yeah. It's always busy, though. But no, good. It's all good.
Excellent. You'll be pleased to hear that I know you're really busy at the moment, which is why you've dropped off the photo show and stuff for everyone, just so that they know. Yeah, but you're still sticking with Mac, aren't you?
I dropped off the face of the earth, except for about 1 hour on Friday evenings here.
Cool. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that the media show and the rage, the rage show and the sound show are all going to come back, I think. So they're there for you to drop in and say hello when you feel like.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, I might do that. Yeah.
Good shows, mate. They should. You should be still attached to them if you possibly
can. I've neglected them, but I'm glad somebody else is going to take them over.
No, mate. Works,
better it.
Works work. Drop work in a heartbeat for this crap. Alex, talking to dropping work for coming on here. How are you doing, mate?
I'm really brilliant.
Pumped.
Thank you very much,
for the photo walk tomorrow.
If I was any more excited, I'd have to go to bed.
You do look it, pal. You are quivering somewhat, I think, on the image.
You're right.
Tomorrow, Borough Market, we'll be all there. Me, the boys, and a whole pile of others. And Betsy from TechSmith's going to be there. She was there on Monday night at the London Mac User Group. And if you didn't go because you thought, oh, I'm not sure I want to go, you bloody should, mate, because everyone got free licenses to Camtasia 2 and Snagit for going. Yeah.
You know what?
Fab night. And she bought all the food and beer as well, which was even better.
Brilliant. A lovely lady to boot as well.
And she bought all the food and beer as well, which was...
I had a lovely lady to boot as well.
But she's coming around next... she's coming around tomorrow with us as well on the photo walk, so that should be another good night. And I'm bringing a pile of lenses down, so if you've got a Canon camera and you fancy trying a few lenses, come along with yours. I'm not sure there's an infection that can go around through lenses, and I hope there isn't, because they all need to work on Monday morning, but bring them down anyway. And Alex is going to be there as well with £1,000 lens that you're going to hire from Calumet, you said, just to show me up.
Exactly.
Or 1,000mm, wasn't it? Not £1,000.
Yeah, you have to pop in on the way around.
Next to him, it's Will Green with self-portrait, dude. Show us the portrait. Hello? There we go. There's a bit of a lag. What are you drinking in that picture? Guinness?
Yeah, it is a Guinness. I don't know why. It was a pint at the time, so I don't know why she...
It looks like you're a US airman in 1941, mate.
That's about it, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? It was? You were there?
I was going out with this artist. She was a lovely girl, and she did it. And I was looking for a backdrop today. So I thought, you know, who has got a gigantic portrait of themselves and doesn't show it off? So there it is.
There it is. It's you.
Yep.
Good man. We'll have to put that on the show notes. We'll have to get it online so everyone can have a copy of Will Green if they want.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. If it's downloaded really well, it is. If no one downloads it, no. And finally, from the London Mac user group, the man who shepherded Betsy towards us and ensured we all had a fantastic time on Monday night, Andy Lee. Hello, pal.
Hello, mate. How you doing? Yeah, all right. It's a good week.
Yeah, it was. It was a very pleasant evening and a lovely presentation. The thing is, I've had Snagit for quite a while now, and one of the older versions, and I got a bundle, I think, off Don. But it's I found out how to use it.
Yeah, it does some really cool things.
It does.
The capture of scrolling windows is pretty cool.
Yeah, and highlighting as well and that kind of stuff. Really, really good. Really good. Excellent. Thank you, mate, for inviting me.
No worries, mate.
The week in Mac. It's been quite a week for Mac. We've had a birthday, fellas. Two of them. Mm. The Mac Mini was 7 this week.
Wow. Amazing.
Can you believe that was 7 years ago?
I can't. Actually, that's amazing. That's what got me into Mac, so.
Yeah.
That's the most important Mac machine ever, that one, because it got me into Mac.
So.
Really?
And me. Me as well.
Yeah, I've got to say, I had a G4 Mac, really. I loved it. Just perfect. Will, wasn't your first Mac, was it? Because you go way back.
Yes, my first Mac would be the Power Mac 9600, I think.
All right. And how much did that cost you?
I didn't buy it, to be honest. My dad bought it, so I can't quite remember.
I thought you could say you got it in a looting session.
No. it was a nice Mac, and I think, that was my first one. And I had various other ones after. But I've lost the plot a bit. What were you talking about?
Dude, I love the fact that we're not even 2 minutes in yet. And 7 minutes in. We've got the Mac Mini is 7 years old this week.
That's good, isn't
it? I mean, it's the first time they kind of splurged into the budget market, wasn't it? Because it was low-priced, Mac functionality didn't do an awful lot particularly, did it? I mean, the graphics were well done, and the sound card didn't do a line in it, only did a line out.
Sorry, Don.
No, I was going to say, it was the perfect machine to tempt people across and to just try it out, because that's what happened with me. I was a PC user, and I used to love computers, but I'd sort of lost all the enthusiasm had gone, and I really didn't enjoy playing with the PC anymore. And then the Mac Mini came out, and I saw it, and I thought, well, I've got the monitor, I've got the keyboard, I've got the mouse. It's just the base unit I need to buy, and it was worth a punt, see what all the fuss was about. And I loved it. I was hooked after a couple of days.
It was a great price point as well. They've gone up a little bit since, but the original price point, it was a no-brainer if you wanted to try it out.
I mean, are they bothered that they've lost the kind of the drug sale? Because that's what it was, wasn't it? It was the thing that you tried then you couldn't live without.
Yeah. I mean, who knew?
Go ahead, Carl.
Oh, I was going to say, who knew that you go spend $600-$700 on a Mac Mini, and then 7 years later you realize you've got 3 mortgages and about $50,000 in debt.
It did kind of creep up on you. That's the truth,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
I remember when they used to loan you Macs. That was a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. You could sort of take it out for a spin type thing, so you could get it and use it if you like to keep it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you could have them for a weekend and things like that.
You still kind of can, as long as you put the money down up front. You can take it back after 14 days if you're not happy with it.
But that's something to do with your selling rights. It's not actually anything to do with Apple.
But you can still do it. So
yeah. Now, I mean, I seem to remember my first Mac was a Parker with that furry hairline around the front.
Oh, she'll be here all week. And the other thing that's 7 years old today is the that hasn't worked very well, has it? As a video shot, is the shuffle. The first shuffle. What is 2005, boys?
Never had one.
I've never had one. Shuffle.
No, I've never had one.
I've just got this feeling I'm going to regret using this story in a few minutes. But go ahead, Greeny.
No, it wasn't anything. I was trying to think of the first one. It wasn't the white stick one, was it?
No, the first shuffle.
The chewing gum one was the white.
Yeah, it was the long first one.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, that's 7 years.
It looked like the Apple remote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 7 years old today. Mm. Or yesterday. Sorry, yesterday.
Okay. So actually, Rankin, you showed the wrong picture.
Yeah, I did. Badly as well. That's me all over.
I remember when he announced it, and he said, I've always wondered what those little pockets in your jeans are for. It was a nice joke, wasn't it?
Andy, could you move house afterwards? Oh, no, he's got one. There we go. Oh, good lad. I was taking the piss, but Andy's got an original shuffle. Wow. It does look like a Pez dispenser, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's cool. It still works.
Front on, it looks like one of those things that you hold your tongue down with in the doctors, doesn't it?
But if I hold up my old Apple remote...
Bend over, Mr. McAllister.
But the old Apple remote looks identical.
It does, yeah. Very similar.
But you can't see it because it's all overlit in here because I'm so handsome. But, yeah, that's all they did. They got the old Apple remote and chucked an MP3 player in it.
And Andy can get 10 songs on that now.
10 whole songs, yeah.
At 256.
It was a marketing genius stroke, though, wasn't it? To come out with a low-cost MP3 player that, you know, because they wanted a full range and not have a display. Because people were sort of, how are they going to bring out a low-cost one with no display? And they said, well, you don't need a display. In fact, you don't even need to see what songs are on there. You just play it by a shuffle because everyone plays it randomly. And
it was a classic Jobs thing, wasn't it?
Oh, it was unbelievably how he actually swung that one and...
Yeah, because he was the one saying, no, you don't need it, don't want it. And then they did the random codec thing, didn't they, or the random algorithm, and people were getting songs back and back and back, and they had to cheat the random algorithm to make it feel like it was actually random, when the original one actually really was. It was genuinely random.
Yeah,
that was the shuffle. Good man. Apple's got a bit of problem with some cash. It may have $82 billion in the bank, but the trouble is that $56 billion of it is in overseas accounts, and they're going to lose. If they bring back $56 billion, they only get $36 billion because the tax man takes the other 22. That seems like a pretty high tax rate, doesn't it?
Ouch.
It depends how long they haven't paid tax on it for, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah,
they've got to pay tax on the interest that they've earned as well and various things like that.
The only thing that bothered me is that American sales going abroad, or is that actually the cumulative value of overseas sales? Because that would mean that that's where their big market's been.
There's no reason why you can't put your money abroad in a tax haven. If they're not going to use it, why pay tax? No wonder the American government are in so much trouble.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be good if they had a kind of an incentive that said, if you don't send it overseas, we'll give you this rate, and if you do send it overseas, when you bring it back, we're going to absolutely hump you, which they obviously do. That would be far better, wouldn't it?
That would be simple.
And logical.
God knows governments aren't simple.
And nothing like governments or companies, no.
I mean, maybe they just gave a few free iPads away and they changed the law.
DeCroyter in the chat room is saying, yep, that was it. Small, light, and indestructible. Truly portable. So do you want to test the indestructible bit for us, Andy, during the show? No?
Not really, no, mate.
No, okay. Sorry. Now, the other thing that's happened, which is quite interesting, does everyone know who Target are in the States?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know them. Yeah.
Target. That well-known high-class firm. Apple is putting an Apple store in every Target store. For anyone that doesn't know... Target is British Home Stores. Would that be fair?
I don't think it's that.
No, it's like Walmart.
Wilkinson, I'd say, is the closest.
Wilkinson.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like Woolworths used to be.
Yeah.
British Home and Colonial Stores, if you don't mind.
it's not as good as Marks and Spencer's. I mean, they serve some real tut in there. But if you want to buy a suitcase or things like that, it's perfect.
It's a big bloody pound shop, isn't it?
It is. It's a big pound shop, exactly. And you really want an Apple store? What the hell's going on there?
Maybe they're going to import all those Chinese apples and they're going to sell them there.
Now, come on, Carl. You would know Target inside out being an American. So what on earth is the logic of putting an Apple store in a Target store?
Because Apple's turning into a consumer electronics store, like Sony, like Samsung. Have a little kiosk there. There you go. There's your Target. I don't know why Target, honestly. I mean, I haven't shopped at a Target in 7 years. So I don't understand why Target and why not Walmart. Walmart, to me, would be the better source to go. But Walmart probably wants a bigger piece of the pie, I would imagine. Well, so, and Target's probably desperate.
Fry's? Best Buy? You know, those kind of stores. And they've actually put it in something that's no better than, you know, like a pharmacy or a... In terms of deviation of corporate market, they do nothing akin to Apple. They don't sell any computing devices.
That's exactly the point. That's the point I was going to make. If you go to Fry's or anywhere like that, they've got competition for Apple in store. If you go to Target, it's an Apple kiosk in a store that's got nothing else in there that's competition to Apple. So that's possibly why they've gone there. You go to Walmart, Walmart sell PCs and various things. Yeah, I mean, they sell Sony. They sell all the things that Apple are in competition with, where Target doesn't.
Chat room is saying Asda, but Target doesn't sell food, from what I remember. I haven't been in a Target for a long time, but seems silly.
I think Target does. Yeah, Target does sell food, or you know, like chips and these kind of things. Not like you can go in and buy a, you know, steak.
It's the kind of food that's been tested on animals, maybe though.
Exactly. Yeah, and it shouldn't cause you any
harm. That was a joke, by the way, Target, in case you're thinking of suing. That came out before I kind of thought about it, really.
Asda make great pizzas.
Asda, yes.
I discovered this week.
Thanks for saving me, Will.
That's all right. A super secret to make the best pizza in the universe.
Does that mean you're not going to tell us now?
Well, I can do. Do you want me to do it now? Or do you want
we,
to
make sure you post it through? No, do it now, mate, and post it through to Carl so we can put it in the show notes. The ultimate pizza recipe, according to Will Green, is?
Well, for the base, okay. So you make it with strong flour, but 40% you want to make it with semolina, okay, which is like durum wheat. And
20%
then,
semolina, not 40%.
40%. Listen to me. Listen. This is important.
Disagree. I can't agree with
this. So when we get to the end, you made it, and you're about to roll it out, you then cover it in the semolina stuff, and then you roll it out, and it gives you, you know when you get like a Domino's pizza, and it's got that almost grainy, bitty feeling on the bottom of it as you
eat
it?
No, that's because it's the bottom of the sack, and the rats have eaten through it. Go on.
But it's semolina, or durum wheat. It's amazing. Yeah. It'll make the best pizza you've ever tried. Give it a go.
You can get pizza dough, can't you? Which is elasticating. The durum wheat's supposed to give it elastication.
Well, but it's that bitterness that you need. It's real. I mean, even if you don't put any semolina in when you actually make the thing, just put it at the end, roll it in it when you're sort of rolling it out, and your best pizza.
Fascinating as that was, Will, how the hell did we get from Target to your pizza dough recipe? You had me there for a minute, mate.
There's a local pizza place, I'm not going to say the name, and they've been our local for ages.
Why is it? Because it's gritty and bitty.
Well, they've been brilliant. I mean, it's been a great pizza place, but then Domino's opened up next door to them, and which is a real shame. But this week, the older one burnt down.
Oh, dear. No, stop there, because that's libelous. We can't prove any of those accusations.
I didn't say anything. I just said...
I'm just preempting either the malicious intent from Domino's or the insurance scam from the old one. So moving on. Apple have got a keynote, New York City, 19th of January, at the Guggenheim Museum, focused on education. Oh, man. It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it? I'm getting excited about the stories. You lot are yawning. What on earth are they doing? Are we going to get an iPad 3?
No.
Yeah, we will, but not.
It has been leaked, so.
It's just digital tech?
Digital textbooks.
Are you kidding me? No, they're going to ship the whole Apple campus 3,000 miles across the country to listen to Tim stand up in the Guggenheim Museum to talk about textbooks.
That's brilliant. The only thing that's been confirmed so far. I mean, they might talk about something else. They might talk about the Apple, the iPad 3. But the only confirmed bit of news so far is digital textbooks.
I think it's a fantastic idea. That means every school child in America, Apple can try and convince the government that every single school child in America needs to have an iPad on their desk in the classroom, because every book that's ever compiled for any studying in the world will be on an iPad, and they can share. How many school kids are there in America that they can get an iPad to every year? And if you think about the cost of textbooks, it would probably work out cheaper to give each child a new iPad every year than give a child a new set of textbooks every year.
Yeah, if you add up the costs of at schools, universities, I mean, lots of universities in the States are giving out iPads as part of the course fees, or you have to buy it yourself. And you've got rental of textbooks is taking off as well. Because, I mean, textbooks, the sort of books that I buy, £100 is not unusual.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's not you
get the update when the update comes out. Every time something new happens, especially in a tech textbook, the update will be instant.
If they integrate the updating of chapters and things like that, because often a new book will be one chapter, maybe some updated content and one new chapter, and you get new books every year, more or less. But and things like errata, if you can fix errata on the fly.
Right.
And it was something that Steve was working on until he passed away, wasn't it? He was working on the digital textbook project. I think it's even mentioned in his autobiography thing.
A bit dodgy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's a good way to circumvent Google. It's a good way to circumvent Google, isn't it?
Aren't we greedy on this? It just sounds like so an Apple. It's the January. It's the January keynote, boys.
It
could be their biggest.
The January keynote was a cookout on the beach with beers and something that you all went ooh because it was Macworld. This is.
It's not meant to replace Macworld, is it? It's just another event for them.
Go on, Greeny. What do you think, mate?
Well, I was going to say, in the past, when you sort of went through a year and you replaced your textbook with the next year, it was for somebody else's. They used to pass them on, didn't they?
In the old days.
And now they're stopping it. Oh.
So, but thing is, when you had these textbooks about geography or maths or whatever, you could be pretty confident that the stains on the textbook were, pretty innocent. But if they're allowed to take these iPads home and then they pass them on to the child the next year, there could be all sorts of problems.
That's the point. It's DRM, mate. You can't pass it on.
Right, this is it. This is the brilliance of what Apple have done, right? I don't want to talk over Will's cogent point there, but if...
What I'm talking about, the stains on the...
Move on from the stains, Alex.
Yes, if you've got a textbook in school that's got an Apple DRM on it and they're giving it to you on an iPad... If Apple gave every school in the country iPads and said, okay, but they're only for school use, what percentage of children would go home and say to the parents, actually, I need an iPad because I need to be able to download my work from school and carry on reading my textbook? It could be the biggest coup in educational, finance ever in the history of the universe, if they play this right. If they can DRM textbooks and make 20% of all the kids in America and all around the world need to hopefully convince their parents that they need an iPad. It's like every kid that comes home and says, no, I need a laptop because we do Word files at school or whatever. Can you imagine how much money Apple would make out of doing this? They could afford to give the schools, every school, an iPad. Give them away just because they know that so many are going to be bought for home use.
So do you reckon one pigeon says to another, that was a big coup?
Big!
Don's just, working.
Think of the tax break now. I mean, we're talking about money before. We're talking about all the crap that's overseas. Now they can bring all that money back in the States because they gave everybody an iPad. See, it all works.
Well, I mean, thinking of the state of digital high-end books at the moment. So you've got in the Oxford English Dictionary, if you buy the 12 volumes hardback, it costs you £300. How much do you think the digital copy is for that?
I'm not 99 cents. I know the answer.
99 cents.
£300.
Exactly the same.
It's identical. Crap.
They got a free version.
And if you look at the law books and things like that, the next edition, you're right talking about the editions, then you pass them on, and you could probably make a law book spin out 2 years. But I spent, when I did my law degree, I spent about £300 or £400 on law books, and I've never sold them on to anyone because it was just me. But I'm sitting looking at them thinking, they live on the edition after the edition after the edition after the edition with very minor changes. I can't see any of the publishers getting away from that anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, the most expensive app on the App Store is essentially a law book. I think it's £400 or £600.
Jeez. That's too much.
You know what I'm thinking about, though? When you go into university libraries and things, you can buy old books that we're talking about now. What's kind of missed from that, other than obviously it's paper, as a lot of people have highlighted stuff before that, so it saves you a lot of time. I'm just looking from an academic point of view that you could literally, a lot of those times, all the important stuff has already been highlighted in those books. You're not going to have that same experience with an iPad that's passed on and passed on and passed on.
Those are the stains, I think, that Will's talking about.
Yeah, but these are the decent ones.
The yellow stains.
I did a tennis woman for A-level, and there was a really good bit in that. I read that quite a few times.
Oh, no.
It's worth looking at.
We'll leave it alone. So what are Apple going to do?
No, well, it's worth looking to see what tools they bring out, because that's what I'm most interested in. You know, will they actually provide you with a suite of publishing tools that not just publishers can use, but, you know, everybody can actually use to create ebooks? Because it's still really hard now to create ebooks. I know Pages has some limited support, but, you know, it's still really, really hard to create a decent ebook. So, you know, perhaps they might deliver a suite of tools, something that we've been looking for ages to help us create these digital volumes.
Oh, I don't know. I've got to say, based on the fact that it's going to be, I mean, the chat room's already calling him Dim Tim, but based on the fact that Dim Tim is going to be up delivering this, there ain't nothing here that makes me salivate. There, you know, if we're talking about I've got to get up early in the morning to watch this keynote or stay up late at night, forget it. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, but it's not a big keynote, is it? It's just the publisher. I mean, they made it very plain. It's an education announcement. It's in New York, so it's going to be about publishing. And it's not, they're not making a big song and dance about it. It's just an announcement. You know, this is where we fall into the trap of building up our expectations and being thwarted when it's just, you know, a minor announcement. Yeah. When it's, they're not.
Well, okay, but cast your minds back, fellas, because we all sat there and talked about the 4S and said, actually, you know, that was a little bit under par. And then we said, okay, well, we'll cut them a bit of slack because Steve didn't die within 2 days. So, you know, maybe that was okay. They needed to come back with something that was, you know, a return to the old days, you know, a bit of a jolly up to the market. And they're not. They're coming back with something that's a bit of a damp squib and no one wants to go to.
I really don't think they need that. I mean, they're going to have the earnings report. Is it, about 4 or 5 days after this event anyway. So that's going to be the big news. You know, this really will, you know, the earnings report for the Christmas quarter is going to be huge. So,
and remember,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Don's right. This is not the event that you and I are particularly interested in. This is the event for education. This is the event for, you know, it's for them. It's for the college kids. It's for to show what Apple does other than for the consumer, does for humanity and all this. And by God, save a tree at the same time. That it's a publicity thing, really, at the end of the day. And we'll get our big events in the coming months when they start unveiling all the new products this year. This just isn't that.
But it's very difficult for Apple to keep coming up with these blowing your way type of concepts. And if they're not going to be able to do that on such a regular basis, because let's face it, technology is only so fast you can push it and it still works properly. Maybe their big next thing just isn't ready. But if you do lots of these things and get people to not be quite so excited all the time, when you have got something big, it's actually going to be a surprise. Whereas at the moment, we're expecting something massive every single time. So if, you know, 3 or 4 things in a row are just nice little, not so much mediocre, but interesting things, when they do hit something with a really big wham, bam, thank you, man, we're all going to be really, really excited again, rather than expectant all the time. So this is it's another way of doing the same thing if you haven't got one enormous thing to do every year, because they just might not have it.
But aren't we really talking about Apple in education.com?
I think that's... And you know, I wish someone had bought that, you know, and it would be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're really talking about, isn't it? So, Appleineducation.com. I mean, that's it, isn't it?
Are we suggesting, Will, that you're going to make the headlines in another week by Apple threatening you with a suit?
Nothing wrong with Appleineducation.com, because we're talking about Apple for the teacher. Apples are very...
Don't you know that Apple own the word Apple?
Oh, that's just all about the fruit.
You can't eat...
Apple for the teacher.
No, you can't eat a green orb with a stork and pips, mate, anymore. And say that you're eating Anne. I can't even say it, you see, because then I'll be sued.
Even on the lowercase I.
Now, there's nothing in that domain. Anyway, it says the site is currently unavailable, so nothing there.
Well, I've just forwarded it. Aren't we really talking about ZZ993VZ.com? Isn't that what we're really talking about?
That well-known waste postcode.
Yes. Are they going to go after Charles Dickens, then, for using the name Pip?
Could be.
You know ZZ99?
Yeah.
If you're a keen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan, you'll know that I think it's Zayfard and a few of the others, they come from the area ZZ99 because they've got no fixed abode, and it's a reference to the British postcode. Yeah.
Okay.
Right that.
why on earth did you buy the domain name for the defunct No Fixed Abode British postcode?
Because I was drunk.
Because it was available.
He's honest.
Oh, that because I thought, Christ, what a brilliant, I can't believe nobody's bought this. And so they are.
Now you know why.
Yeah,
you need, you know, like people walk around with things like signs when they say that they're in a changed state when they're ill and that kind of stuff, Greenie. You need to have one for when you're sober because you wouldn't have to wear it frequently.
Thank you very much.
Gaz in the chat room says he loves the good cocks. Thank you. That's the end of that conversation there. Jeremy Horowitz has been flashing the iPad 3 case around and swearing blind that this is the one it's going to be. It's only internal changes, no real external changes. And they've done a mock-up of it on 95 Mac, of the one that they saw Jeremy with, and that's what it looks like compared to the current one. And everyone's going, ah, well, yeah, but it's just a rumour. But apparently this guy stood up last year and said, no, I've got the iPad 2, and showed someone. And when it came out, it was actually it. This guy's got a history of having the next advance in his hand. So are we getting an iPad 3?
Nah, Jeremy's full of crap.
And you know this because?
It's too soon. That's why. It's just too soon for an iPad 3 already. It's too soon in the year. We just... They're going to have... it's rumors or not. It's just too soon. It's just too soon. It's January, for God's sakes. And even come February, I don't see one. We're going to have a whole colossal of change of products, and they're all going to be, I would say, mostly are going to be at once. I think you're going to have iPad, probably ITV. I don't think an iPhone. I think the iPhone will come later in the year, probably with something when they usually do their media event with iTunes and things. But I think we'll get an iPad and probably an ITV, like I said, probably around May or June. So,
well, you always get the Mr. Egg portion in this podcast, don't we?
We do. Well, you got to do the rumors, mate. You love the rumors.
Yeah, I do. But Carl, you're talking from your insider doodah, aren't you?
Have you got an insider doodah?
No. I don't have an insider. No, on iPad 3. No, I don't. But it just seems logical to me. Just thinking of it, it just seems logical to me. It's not the time yet.
Well, they've done it the same time for the last 2 years, haven't they? Is it March or April when they've
announced
the new iPad? I mean, I wonder if they'll take the same lead as they did last year with the iPhone, because they pushed that back by a couple of months and, you know, sort of push the iPad back to WWDC or around that time frame, which would fit in with Kyle. I don't know. I think lots of people are going to be expecting the iPad 3 at the same time as they launched it last year, to be honest, but they might just pull a swift one and move it back a couple of months.
I think at some point, definitely will go out of phase. They've done that on lots of products recently, keeping away from that too much of a predictable cycle, so that, because it kills sales when the run up.
I mean, they're talking at the moment of having an iPad 3 coming out in time for March, and there's a lot of people talking about production going ahead for March in other rumours. But someone said that there's going to be an iPad 4, though, in October, because this one's going to be an interim one. And Jeremy's got one that looks exactly the same, so that backs that rumour up. And Jeremy's got a history.
Well, that's just because of the 4S came out. I mean, they called it the 4S to annoy Kyle anyway.
They don't have a history, really, of updates to product quite so quickly. They've done it a few times when they've really changed their minds. They did it with the first gen unibody MacBooks. They did a complete U-turn not very long after. But a planned thing like that, I can't imagine doing a planned thing within the same year.
No,
but the only reason they did the iPad 2 was because the iPad 1 had things that were actually missing. Yep. There were other manufacturers bringing out iPad equivalents with cameras and things, and it needed it. And
they realized
if they didn't bring out an iPad 2, they were going to start losing market share. There is nothing out there that's forcing them to bring out an iPad 3 at all.
But you're starting to get into quad-core processors on tablets this year, certainly, and also battery advances. It's alleged that the new iPads will have double the battery life. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but
I don't think that's why someone would necessarily go out and buy a new iPad tomorrow.
But they're not always aimed at the people who've already got one. It's the new people. Like, if you look at the cycles that people buy iPhones on, you tend to get odd and even people. There's people on different contracts, which limits their uptake, but also people don't want to spend that much money every single year. So you'll get people on those cycles who will pick up one every other one, or when something they particularly want comes along, and then all the new people have got a reason to, over, you know, the competition.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe they could link in the new iPad 3 are the only ones that you can look at textbooks on.
No, I think they're going to try and differentiate. I think they're really going to push this year to make the iPad, you know, a computing platform, although it is already, but, you know, to take over from a standard PC or Mac. So I do think that the iPad 3 will be more of a pro version, and they'll keep the original iPad for like the consumer version. So I think this year they're going to push to try and get the iPad taken more seriously, in effect, by you know, people to use it as an alternative computer to a laptop or a desktop. And I agree. The Retina display and, you know, whatever new features they bring out on it, that's the quad-core processor possibly, you know, it's with the speed improvements. I think they might take that and approach.
Go on, Will.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with Don too.
Thing is, you've got to remember about a lot of the Apple products. Originally, they were made in california.co.uk.
You've bought california.co.uk?
No, madeincalifornia.co.uk.
You've bought madeincalifornia.co.uk. Well done, mate.
I think it's more of a twittery thing.com myself.
No. The Mac is like, it's an international product. I mean, it's internationalmac.com these days, isn't it?
Do you know where California is in the UK?
I do. The thing is, it's all about Apple, right? And I'm British and I love it. I love britishapple.com. And also the iPad, I mean, britishipad.com are all brilliant. And I'm really proud to be on a britishpodcast.com.
You can tell he's done some work.
He's been drunk for a hell of a long time.
See, the thing is, though, right? A lot of it, I'm a writer and I enjoy writing. And I use paper and I use my Mac. And, well, I suppose you could describe me as a paper Mac writer.
Oh, dear. .com.
You haven't.
Oh, yeah. paperwriter.com.
I can see why you were the pianist anyway.
No, do you know where California is in the UK?
Is it somewhere in Wales?
No, it's in Scotland. It's in Falkirk.
I knew it was somewhere not important.
And the most, do you know what the unfortunate thing about the postcode is?
It's ZZ something nine.
No, it's FK1. There we go.
Is it?
Yeah. There's one in Derby. There's one in Derby as well. That's in DE22. There's one in Norfolk, NR29, and there's one in Ipswich as well, in IP4, and one in Little Downham near Ely.
I thought we were at IP6 now.
They're very good. There are seven Californias in the UK, mate.
They weren't going to think it up themselves, were they? We've really managed to ostracise everyone now. Have we got ostracised?
Well, there's no news, is there? That's the key part of the course. There's no news. Doug in the chat room is saying, what about Retina display? Are we getting the Retina display with the new one as well?
The near Retina.
Well, we've got
the near Retina
on the iPad, and they're talking about Retina display on the MacBook Pro as well now, to go with the Panasonic thing that's coming. Don, do you see resolution in your future?
Oh, yeah. Resolution independence, isn't it? That's what they called it. So there's the high-res screens, but, you know, your font size doesn't sort of shrink to little tiny characters because they've got this resolution independence. So it's a nice, clear, crisp screen, but the fonts are at the normal size. And, I can see that happening over the next 12 months, very much so. And definitely on the iPad 3, I think the rumors are so strong about it.
I can see the commercial.
It's resolution interpolation, though, isn't it? It's always available. We just don't have screens big enough to bother.
Fair enough.
You say you want a resolution.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Do you own that one yet, Will?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know, with people who talked about resolution or the Retina displays, the thing they need to be careful of when they launch is they doubled the resolution last time, and that makes it easy from a design point of view if you're dealing with graphics. If you've got a different ratio, then that could mess people up. So I don't know how they're going to manage that if it's not going to be a doubling of resolution.
I think they'll have to, won't they? Or quadruple, really, isn't it? Because you need four times the amount of pixels to match it. Because it's... Yeah, otherwise it gets really complicated sort of designing for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not if you do resolution interpolation.
But that doesn't work.
Yeah, but that's not going to improve quality, though, is it?
I would beg to differ, and I think we've discussed this before on the photo show. I would beg to differ at what point you're going to be able to tell on any difference on a screen of a certain size. I mean, I would say on an iPhone, there's you could double the resolution of the screen on the iPhone and you wouldn't tell the difference. There is a point with the iPad, you might get a benefit out of Retina, but, you know, they're talking about higher resolution on than Retina on, say, Mac screens, for instance. You're not going to be able to see that. You're not going to be able to use it.
Yeah, I think, though, that they're not going to sort of carry on. I think once they've got to the Retina display spec, they're going to stop there because, as you say, I think the main thing that they're concerned about is that at the distance that you hold the device away from your face, you know, you can't make out the individual pixels. I think that's the whole idea. So with an iPad, you might use an iPad further away than you would an iPhone. So the resolution doesn't need to be that high. And also on for a Retina display on a laptop, you know, it's another, you know, you're two foot, three foot away. So again, the resolution doesn't need to be as high as it is on the iPhone because, you know, you can't actually perceive the difference after a certain distance. Sure. So as long as they are able to say, well, it's a Retina display because you can't make out the individual pixels from the normal distance of viewing this particular device, that's a benchmark for a Retina display.
Yeah,
but you got to remember, I mean, I don't know what the equivalent say is if you put something Retina-like on a bigger device. Say you did it on the iPad, the power you'd have to have in your video card is exponential compared to the normal display. You know, it's an awful lot more power in the video card and processing power to drive that screen if you're going to drive it at full Retina display. I mean, that's one of the reasons, say, the iPhone, the battery life was a problem when they were not so much a problem. But they had to put a hell of a lot more battery power in it to drive the Retina display because the video and the processing and all the rest of it was so much higher. It's so much more power to do it. So it's not just a matter of putting more pixels in. It's the whole machine has to accommodate that, which is an awful lot more power and speed.
According to Doug in the chat room, resolution's one of his main reasons for holding off on a purchase from going from iPad 1 to iPad 3. Unless they give the resolution, he's not interested. And he wants a better camera too. So
he does need a better camera.
Need one.
Mm. And a flash in the back.
and an ISO. And an optical zoom.
So in other words, you want the iPhone 4S in a 10-inch screen.
No, he wants a Hasselblad in an iPhone so he can play Angry Birds on it. That's what he wants.
But really sharp.
iOS 5 new dev seed has come out and it says suggests that they're working on a Siri for iPad. Are we going to get Siri on any of the other devices retrospectively? Is it only going to be the new devices going forwards? Is iPhone 4 going to get it, or is it still going to be just iPhone Fest and onwards?
No, from new up. It makes sense. I mean, they want you to buy the new stuff. Why support old? Apple's never done that, so they're not going to start now, even with Tim at the helm.
I had an argument.
They could have done it straight away out of the gate. It was already working on the previous generation. You could buy the app, you could install it. They took it away. They're not going to backboard it, I don't think.
See, I had an argument with a guy on Twitter the other week where I said to him, you know, they're never going to do that. They're never going to go back through the old product line and say, here's Siri. And he said, no, they are. It's only because it's in beta, you know, for God's sake. And I just, no, I don't get that at all.
Well, maybe what they can do is they can give a version like a Siri Lite that you can go back on. So you can get addicted to it and say, no, I want all the functionality of this. It's so cool. Ooh. I want everything. So then you'll upgrade your phone so you can have everything. So it's like a not a demo, but a light version which you can have on older software or older hardware. Beta.
Max, I've got... Beta. Alex, I've got Tim on the line. He wants to know what you're doing next week, whether you can spend a few minutes with him and give him a few tips.
Yeah, so I'll let him know.
Good lad, mate. You're a devious little git, aren't you?
Hey.
What about CES then for Mac? Because, I mean, we've got Macworld, iWorld, and I tried to get Paul Kent on again today to give another plug for that. If you're around the San Francisco area, then make sure you go to that show and say hello to Paul for us. And he's keeping a spot open for us for next year. He wants us at the show, doing all the shows, so we'll be there. CES was pretty good for Mac, I thought.
Thunder Chicken
got loads of stuff. Tons of stuff. Are you happy? Because, I mean, you guys have all got Thunder Chicken, haven't you? So I haven't.
Ding.
Sorry, Don.
With you now.
Okay. Greeny's lost. Look at him.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. What's that then?
Thunderchicken.com.
Oh, Thunderbolts.
Have you not bought Thunderchicken.com?
Thunder Turkey. Could be. As I said before. Thunder
Turkey.
I mean, you've got, a lot of you have got Thunderbolt ports, which I haven't. So, Are you excited? Because we did slag off the lack of Thunderbolt stuff out there, and there's Belkin's got out an express dock. Lassie has got a thing that's like a docking station that goes from Thunderbolt to USB 3 as well. And Ministack have come out with a USB 3 for Mac Minis as well. So on top of that.
Yeah. Elgato's just brought or bringing out an SSD, external SSD drive with Thunderbolt. That should actually scream SSD and Thunderbolt.
Yeah, but a lot of the things they're bringing out are the devices that you can use your older devices with Thunderbolt. It's like, I don't know what you call them, Lassie, I call them Lassie drives, but my Lassie drives have got eSATA on it, which I can't remember, is that 5 gigabits?
I say SATA.
Okay, eSATA. Anyway, you say tomato and all that. But what a lot of the things I've noticed are, is I quite like the idea of being able to plug all my Lassie SATA drives into Thunderbolt and getting the 5 gigabits or whatever it is on eSATA, even though they're not Thunderbolt enabled. So a lot of the things are just trying to get the best out of everything that's already there and convert it into Thunderbolt. There's not an awful lot of things actually being made directly for Thunderbolt yet. There are a few, but they seem to be all conversions, like SSD to Thunderbolt. So they're not actually creating a drive specifically for Thunderbolt. They're creating something that will take, say, an SSD to Thunderbolt. So it's still really, really, really early stages. I wish they'd get on with it. They just need to bring the price down. $82 billion in cash. Do you think they can't just like give a little bit to bring the cost of these chips down a little bit?
It's until the PC market takes it forward that it's the mass market effect.
Aren't they trying to kill the PC?
Yeah, but you need them. That's if it wasn't for, I mean, the Macs brought in USB and various other things along the way, but you don't get the cheap enough products until everyone's using them on PCs. Until Intel starts sticking them on motherboards, it doesn't get the mass market uptake. And therefore, economy of scale for everybody.
If Apple, the rumor is Apple might move to the A5 or A6.
Mm.
If they move there, then Intel are going to go get stuff. There's no way we're going to help support Thunderbolt.
Well, they invented it, so...
Yeah, but they're not... What the...
Good God.
Greedy, are we boring you, mate? I'm sorry.
You look like the Starcatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, the freakiest character in all of history. You did a good impression there, Will.
Greedy, did you give us stuff?
What's that?
Do you give us stuff? No.
About Thunderbolt?
Oh, you've switched him off now. He's gone. Yeah,
it's pretty dull, isn't it, really? Let's be honest with you. I mean, as you know. Well,
the annoying thing with that Thunderbolt Express dock, I mean, Belkin announced it.
Go on, Don, tell us more about it.
It's not until September this year.
No, I know.
It's crazy.
I mean, CES was the no price, no date. Everything that came out, hadn't got a price on it, didn't know when it was going to be released. It was utter toots.
Always the way, CES though.
That's crap. I don't think it's always been the way. But
Apple could have had a stand and said, we may make a telly one day in the future.
Hi, the time's running out. Kyle, time is running out.
Sharp no, $20.
If there's one thing that we learned at CES this year,
go on.
Is they're trying to get a jump just like they did with the tablets. Oh, Apple's making a tablet. Well, we got to have the tablets first. Well, what's everybody doing with the TVs this year?
Ultrabooks.
Everybody's making... Yeah, well, you know, that too, TVs. The Ultrabooks. But they're making TVs with this internet connectivity, with this whole new way of interacting with your television, and it's because they're trying to get a jump on Apple.
Mm. Yeah, whatever. So, $20
or
March.
May.
March.
Or, He's always said May. $20 May.
Or Apple isn't going to make a TV, but if they put out the rumors, everyone else is going to spend their whole R&D budgets on TVs. And Apple will bring out a super fridge or something.
Fridge.
Well, you know. An Apple core.
Well, you've got to say, Greeny, you'd be more interested in that, wouldn't you? Keeping your beer cool up in the studio with an iFridge.
I've got a lovely fridge.
In the studio?
No, at home. I've had it for years. It's a 1950s English electric job. And I've got the matching cooker as well. My wife hates
it. Shame you haven't got a matching handle to open it, because you have to open it with a set of pliers.
With a screwdriver, actually.
It's not. It's a set of mole grips.
No, it's a screwdriver.
I've been to your house. It's mole grips.
Look, I'm opening my fridge daily, and it's a red screwdriver.
I hate to think what your
electric bill is.
I'd forgotten.
Oh, no, it shuts. It shuts. You can't open it. You can shut it, though.
It shuts beautifully. You can open it. Vic gets a bit upset because she's got the baby in one hand and trying to open it with a screwdriver in the other. But I demonstrate again and again. You simply push it a little bit, slide the screwdriver in, simply move it forwards, and it gently opens. It's really, really easy.
Does it keep
you holding the baby?
Does it keep your beer cold, mate?
Oh, mate, it's the coldest fridge in the universe. Costs an absolute fortune for the electric. But as far as
why change it then? I agree.
It runs on gas.
There he goes.
What's up to Will Green?
Greeny's poster's gone.
He's in room 5 of the Tontine Hotel.
I am.
Oh, dear. Airplay got a pile of stuff as well, and Griffin bought out the only piece. This is one of the only pieces of equipment that I saw at CES that really liked the idea of. You take your Airplay, you stick it on the top, and you plug it in, and it works with your old crappy speakers. You ain't got to buy new Airplay speakers. And there's no word on price, no word on date, but it's supposed to be coming out reasonably cheaply. 20 watts per channel. There you go. Like it? Buy it?
Looks old.
Yeah.
Come on, we've all got old, crappy speakers.
Yeah, but nothing I've got looks that bad.
No, they didn't correct for white balance, did they, at CES? I was really annoyed at that, the photographers.
Is that designed? It's not designed by Apple, is it?
No, it's Griffin.
Because of there's no way Apple would ever allow anything that was just so poorly designed.
It's ugly.
Well, you'd have
what's that? They had that dock, the thing that you put your Airport Express into that holds it up nicely at a good angle.
No, you'd have that flat,
that
wouldn't
looks
you?
Looks nice.
Well, you'd have it slip into somewhere where you'd have a nice. You could push the lid down, and it would be one long contour.
You want the Wi-Fi antennas exposed, and they did a decent dock that was nice. It was, you know, it. That stupid little plastic bit that sticks up. Why does it not? I don't know. Maybe it's just a pre-production model, but it just looks ugly.
It's not powered up either.
No. And Greeny, I saw this as well. The Steely. It's a support for your iPad.
Ooh, that looks nice.
It does look nice, doesn't it? Mm. It's on the. I'm showing it on the feed. There we go. The Steely.
Oh, that is really nice, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? And I thought about you when I saw that, because yours is kind of similar to that, isn't it? It's got a centre post and it's got the X thing on it that you spent a fortune on.
Do you know what you could use that for?
No, you see, this is the problem.
Magnetic handle for a 1950s-style fridge.
Well, listen, I think we should pause at this point. For guys who are listening to this, and girls who are audio only, let's describe it, shall we?
Well, hang on, because I'm just about to, because I showed it to a bloke yesterday when I saw it on the net, and he went, that looks like a butt plug. And I don't want one now.
I wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a butt plug with a disc on the top that sits on your iPad. There we go.
It looks like the bottom half of an Oscar.
Okay.
Or a miniature pump from the pub.
Okay, fair enough.
Has it got a rubber sucker top?
To go with it, yeah.
No, seriously, is that how it connects? Is it a rubber sucker?
There must be some rubber involved somewhere. There you go.
It's a lovely... That's like... It's a,
cut him. Cut.
Isn't it lovely, rubber sucker? I've always loved that word. And knockers... Yeah. I think it's always fun.
I was going to do the sponsors advert at this point, but I'm not sure it's really the appropriate moment. This podcast and many others would not be possible without UK2.net. They've kept us afloat for 2.5 years now, and we're going to keep going forwards with them, I hope. We're having a chat in a few weeks' time. They pick all the bandwidth up for us. They keep us afloat. We would be really seriously in trouble if they disappeared, because I couldn't afford the bandwidth charge each month. You need to support them if you want to keep us on the air and support them. If you're buying stuff, Greeny, I hope you used UK2 to buy this stuff with. All of these websites, come on. Yes, you did.
Yes.
Yes, I did. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So go to bageltechnews.com, use the click through, sign into your own account if you've got one already through that link as well. They're very happy about that. And if not, then have a look around, browse your stuff. When you get to your basket going out, do bear in mind that everything you see in front of you, 15% has got to come off that, and the DNS management charge has got to come off it as well. So use Bagel DNS to get rid of the DNS management charge completely, and use Bagel Tech to take another 15% off. You can use both codes, so you get a fantastic deal there, and they're pretty good on price anyway to start with. So please support UK2.net, because in doing so, you support us as well. When you're listening to this now, just stop and go to their website through our link. Just let them know that we sent you. Thanks ever so much for doing it. We'd be lost without them. Have we got any cool thingies? Don, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, go on. I'll give you a cool thingy. It is an app. Well, it's more than one app, actually. It's an iPhone app. It's an app for your iPad. And it also goes on your Apple TV as well. It's Netflix. Because Netflix is now launched in the UK, and you can go and get a free trial. You can get a month's free trial.
Don, I thought there's about three people are going to lose now. You've got the benefit of the first position there, mate. Definitely.
So what's this Netflix then? Never heard of it.
Netflix.
Yeah, what's that then? Tell me all about it, Don.
Streaming video. It's like what's the other one? Love Film that we've already got in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Love Film. This is the American one that they've now brought over to the UK, and it works really well. Actually, I was very impressed. So you can view it on the web. You can download the free apps from the iOS for your iPhone and iPad. The neat thing is, if you start watching something on the Apple TV, because if you reboot your Apple TV, you'll actually get a Netflix plugin now. That's now available. Type in your account details, and you can start watching something on the Apple TV, then pick up your iPhone, and it actually carries on from where you left off.
Oh, that sounds good.
Very clever.
I think you've really upset Kyle.
Yeah, Carl's gone. I think
as well. Oh dear.
You might find it's a lightning strike or a brownout or something there. Hang on. I need to find the right. Oh, the bloody lag. Come on, come on, come on. Hello, mate.
Hello.
There's got to be a better way of answering Skype without having a screen on.
Siri enabled Skype answering service.
Oh, bloody hell. This is such a slick show today. We've done pizza dough.
Yeah.
And now I can't maximize Kyle's screen. Good job. I learned how to use Final Cut last week, wasn't it?
That's great, though. Sorry about that. Bandwidth is absolute crap right now for some reason.
Good pick, Don. Good pick.
I've only got 100. It's a shame about Netflix, sorry. When they originally came over, they were going to take over Seesaw, which was the... a video watch old TV show. And it was a real, real pity because I gave Seesaw my pick a couple of times on the network, and it was a real shame because it was like Netflix are coming over to the UK, they're going to take over Seesaw, but sadly it didn't happen, and Seesaw are no longer. But I think Netflix, I think it's only about £4.99 a month, isn't it, Netflix?
Yeah, £4 or £5.
For something I don't know anything about, I seem to know a lot about it. But, you know, for value for money, you think about that for a Sky or Virgin subscription for their film services, it's very, very good value.
$5.99, says Kyle in the chat room. Thank you. Kyle, what have you got for us?
Actually, it's something I did see at CES, and I don't know exactly. Again, I don't know the price. I don't know when it's out, but it does look very cool to me. It's from iHealth, and what it looks like is a bunch of... accessories for your iPhone. And the one that really caught my eye was the smart glucometer that you can plug right into the bottom of it for, you know, diabetics out there. You can take, your blood sugar with it. It looks like you can keep a history, probably, send it on to your doctor, these kind of things. To me, the possibilities are endless. And I'm loving to seeing something like this for the iPhone. Or actually, it'd be nice just for any general devices. You know, we all carry a phone with us now. And, you know, for diabetics out there, my wife is diabetic, so this would be something I would love to get for her that she could have on her all the time, test the blood sugar. And I think they also got one for blood pressure and all these kind of things. But I just thought, out of the things I seen at CES, this is one thing that I thought, that's a damn good idea. And,
did Tina read the article I sent through as well? I sent an article through about gut health helping diabetes.
I think she's seen that. I don't know. Sometimes you wonder about that stuff, if it's mumbo-jumbo stuff. It'd be nice if they actually found a cure for the thing. But unfortunately, we're living in a world of test strips and pharmaceutical companies and kind of things. So I don't know if we'll ever see it in our lifetime. Mega tech political, sorry. But I thought this was one thing. It'd be nice to see. I don't know when it comes out. I guess they're talking maybe around the $100 mark for the thing. So
you picked something that costs money.
Yeah, it's important.
It's a serious thing. So yeah, it costs money, and I would definitely buy this for sure.
Excellent, Alex. What you got for us, mate?
Right, again, using my normal ask Kyle what I should pick. Now, what we did, we actually tested this app. It's called Glimpse, and it's an old app, I know, but it's recently been updated. It's Glimpse, which is Glympse. And it's a journey, it's not a planner. You can enable other people that you send a Glimpse invite to visually see your journey while you're traveling along. I know you can do this with like Find My iPhone or one of these apps, but this is something you actually, you have on your device, and you can actually send out invites to other people. For instance, what we're hopefully going to do is for the Bash this year, because we don't know necessarily when we're going to get to places, if people en route are invited to Glimpse, they will be able to see where we are, and they will be able to see if we're running late. They'll be able to see when we're about to arrive with them for their pickup. And we should all then be able to coordinate ourselves. Ewan could be sitting in Birmingham, and he could say, okay, well, they're there, they'll be here then, and he'd be able to watch our journey. So it's not open to anybody, but you invite other people to be able to look on a map and see where you are, and you can do routes, and you're able to see what's going on. So it's just a nice way of, we'll be there in 10 minutes. You don't need to do that anymore. The person you're traveling to can look at their phone or whatever they're looking at and see that you're going to be there in 10 minutes. So I just thought it was a nice app, and it has got its uses. So, and it's free. So I just liked it, and I liked the option. And I was watching Carl drive around the M25 this morning, dropping off stuff in various old people's homes, and it worked.
It was like, that makes you sound like a burglar.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Or he's crapping on their lawns.
Exactly. But, the delay is seconds. And I know how fast he's traveling. So if you've got an employee that's driving a van of yours, you can sit there and watch them speed and then chastise them when they get home. But
really good.
It's a nice bit of kit.
Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Green, what do you have for us?
Sightsucker.
Go on.
Sightsucker.
Is this something illegal?
No. It's all good. It's available for the Mac for free. Also available for the iPhone and the iPad as well. I think it's only 59p, it's not expensive. So if you're going away and there's going to be no Wi-Fi connection, or there's a website that you particularly want to read, you're unsure of Wi-Fi or 3G connectivity, what you do is just type in the website of this website you want to look at, and old Site Sucker sucks it down before you leave.
Thank you for that, Will.
No, that's all right. But it does. That's what it does. It sucks it down before you leave. And
it gives you offline browsing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Very good.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And it's very sensible as well for you, Will. Andy, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm thinking Downcast. Have you guys talked about that recently?
No.
Feeling it.
Are you aware of what it is? It's a podcatcher for iOS. Lets you subscribe to your whatever shows you want to, including Bagel Tech. It's good for discovery of shows as well. The thing is, it lets you sync everything. You never need to plug it into iTunes and deal with any of iTunes issues over syncing your podcasts. And the great feature they've just added a couple of weeks ago is if you've got it on your iPads, your iPhone, your iPod Touch, it will sync all your playlists, all your episodes together. So if you can pick up watching an episode of a podcast on any of the devices, it's like how they do the book syncing in iBooks or on Kindle. You just pick it up wherever you left it off, regardless of what device you were using.
Excellent. Good one. My pick is something that I saw on Monday night. I was over at the Elmug thing, and there was a very, very talented artist there, Paul Kersal. Is that right? K-E-R-S-A-L? C-A-L?
C-A-L.
Yeah.
C-A-L, yeah.
And he was just phenomenal. Really, really, really good. And he was using a brush on an iPad. And I'm no great artist, I have to admit. The wife's really, really good. I'm not. And I went and bought one of these things, It's 25 quid. It's a proper brush. You can hold it anywhere up and down. You can get a little sock for it as well, which is 12 quid, that goes on the end so you can do like big colouring in like crayons and stuff like that. But this thing works with a program called Brushes. And if you're in the middle of drawing something, a green was a bad choice here, wasn't it, with the green screen behind me? But never mind. If you've got it, you can just lightly brush across the... Lightly brush across it, and it paints it, and it does solid lines, so it's like a pen or something like that. And then if you want to change it, you can put some, like an After Effects touch on it, and you can get it to act more like a real brush, so the faster you hit, the more it elongates the strokes, so that it's something that's a bit more artistic. And I've been playing with it. I've been playing with it, and it's... it's not bad, not bad at all. I'm not particularly artistic, but you can draw stuff with it quite easily. It's very pleasant.
Go on, let's have a look, Ewan. Let's see some of the. You must have done stuff before.
I'm actually quite decent at painting boats.
Let's have a look then.
And I've got some. Well, you have to talk amongst yourself because it's in the lounge in the other room. But I'll show you next week. I'll bring you one of my boat pictures.
Was that yours? That's really good.
Well, that was just kind of me just... while you were doing your picks, I just started doing like a riverbanky thing, but there you go. Not brilliant.
That shows you how interesting our picks were.
Yeah. After last week, they were pretty fantastic, I thought. I'll get you one of my boat picks next week and I'll show it. There you go. I'll go and take a picture of it, promise.
That's really... That looks really good, actually.
I love you, Will. Thank you. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com with my new, brand new... shiny website. I'm actually doing both iOS and Mac tutorials now, so it's all changed. So check out screencastonline.com and on the Twitter as Don McAllister.
Cheers, mate. Carl?
KyleSwagger.com or at Twitter at KyleSwagger.
And in half an hour, fast asleep in bed at 1 a.m. Sorry to have
kept you up, mate. In about 4 minutes, actually.
Sorry, pal. Alex, where can we get you, mate?
You can get me at Alex G. Fox on Twitter or at Bagel Tech. Photo walkie thing happening tomorrow.
Meat Porter's Market, 1 p.m. I'll have been drinking from 10:30. Tone from Nottingham will have been drinking from 9:30, and apparently there's pubs along the way. But I'm bringing a whole pile of lenses down, so if you've got a Canon camera, there'll be a few lenses for you to try as well that maybe you wouldn't have normally yourself, you know. So have a little play with them. But Borough Market, the Meat Porter's pub, 1 p.m. Be there.
It's the Market Porter.
The Market Porter. Sorry, mate. I thought
in
it was a
Stony
meat
Porter. Street.
Market Porter in Stony Street in Borough Market. Yeah?
Yep, I'll stick the URL in the chat room. Sorry.
Thanks, mate.
Greeny. The alcohol has already taken effect.
You're going to go and drink alcohol, I hope, right now.
Who's that to?
Greeny, you, Mr. Green.
Yes, I am. Yes. My authority's begun now.
Good lad. Well done. And where can we get you?
Well, okay, pick a number. One, two.
I was going to say.
10.
Number 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. BritishApple.com.
Okay, and where could we get to you if we fancied a 5?
WorldofWill.com.
World of Will sounds fantastic. You've got to do World of Will, mate. Pictorial website.
It's
in a green.
It has been done from all the past sort of stuff. Like there's all Pizza Guide and all sorts of... I did a whole carry-on thing and...
Excellent.
But for some reason, it was taken offline. So at the moment, just points to... some strange reason. Just points
probably
to...
The FBI,
I've got a slight bone to pick with you, mate, because I came all the way over to Telford to do a podcast with you, and you stopped me eating a curry for 3 hours while we frigged around with the microphones and did this podcast. You ain't used a single bit of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I hope you feel you kept me away from food for 3 hours for no good reason.
Well, I have a very sort of high editorial standards, as you can tell. And
you haven't posted it because we slagged jobs off.
No, it wasn't that. It was because of the dog wolf in me, actually.
All right, okay.
Fair enough. And it just got, you know, when you think, oh Christ, I'm gonna have to go through like an hour and a half of all this, and you think, oh, just sod it, and you just pick about 2 minutes and think, oh, that'll do.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you.
That was about an hour and a half past the beginning, isn't it?
Before we go any further, then Andy, where can we get you, mate?
You can get me by the London Mac User Group, lmug.org.uk. I'm at Longball on Twitter or at digitalshed.net.
And if anyone knows how to put a bleep in Final Cut Express without having to import a new audio file, I'd be very grateful. Thank you very much.
Will, do you want to find that out for next week?
Yeah, that's your homework, Greeny, before I post this. We'll be back again next week with Bagel Tech Mac as normal. Full House will be here, and I'm going to go and play rugby now. Be a bad mistake. 21st, if you're not doing anything, Help for Heroes at my rugby club here in Birmingham. Send me an email, I'll send you the details. You can get drunk, the bar's open. There's a load of 40-year-olds who'll be walking around groaning afterwards at the pain that they're in and taking in a lot of drugs and alcohol afterwards. I'll be one of them, and I'll be embarrassing myself on the rugby field, no doubt. But there's 25 of us, so it means we only need to play about 10 minutes each. And there's a few 40-year-olds as opposed to 45 to 60-year-olds. Our president is playing, a guy called Mal Richards, and I think he's sort of about 68, so 65, 68. If he can play, I can cock and manage 10 minutes. See you next week. Thanks for coming.